Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Let's talk about this latest story, the medical story. Over the past few days, health authorities around the world have been monitoring growing concern around hantavirus and the outbreak linked, of course, to that cruise ship. There have been deaths and international contact tracing is underway. What's made this more alarming is that the strain involved, the Andy strain, is one of the few hantaviruses known to allow limited person-to-person transmission under certain conditions. It's also, of course, raised questions here in South Africa after one infected passenger traveled via St. Helena to Johannesburg on an Airlink flight. How serious is this outbreak really? Are we anywhere near pandemic territory? And how concerned should we be? Joining us now is Christian Lindemeyer, spokesperson for the World Health Organization. A very good morning. Thank you for taking the time to speak to us. Why has this particular outbreak attracted such global attention?
Thanks for having me, Howard. Well, first of all, because it's a very unique scenario. Mm-hmm. People on a cruise ship falling sick with a death on board, traveling further on, multinationals from different countries on a cruise ship which stops on different places. That has the attention to it. And, of course, because the memory of COVID is still in all of our minds, so people immediately make that connection. Mm. But that's not what it is.
And I think that's probably the most important part of it, because somehow we've all got this PTSD. I'm already seeing people saying, take ivermectin. I mean, I actually nearly fell off my chair when I saw that. I thought, like, no, we can't go back to this. We just can't. I mean, obviously, unless we have to. But what makes this different to COVID?
The virus is very different. The spreading is very different. So mm-hmm. It's a lethal virus. That's important. So
yes.
The Hunter virus can be extremely lethal. And the Andes version is the only one which is known to actually transmit from person to person, but only in close contact. So if I'm sharing a cabin, right, like in this case with someone, if I'm really in close contact, then yes. But otherwise, the wide spreading effect that COVID or a flu has, that is not what this virus is. And that's the huge difference, and that's an important difference.
Right. So how transmissible is it? You know, you're talking about sharing a cabin. Do you need prolonged contact, in other words?
No, it could be. I mean, it needs to be really close contact. So if I'm talking to someone for a while, directly face-to-face, like a very short distance, and I'm coughing in the meantime,
right,
then that there's a risk.
Right.
If I'm sharing a cabin, obviously, or if I'm having,
sure,
it's my partner and we're being together, then that, yes. But if I'm entering a room, then the people in this room are normally not at risk. So the risk for the population is really
low,
and that makes it so different, and that's the really important difference. Yet, for those who have it right now and those on the ship who are concerned, or the people who were in direct contact with one of the sick passengers, like the stewardess or other people, for them it's a real event, and it's also important. Or the person who is now in South Africa in the hospital, and luckily doing better by the day, to what we hear.
Mm.
So it's serious, but very low risk for everybody around.
Is there anything, if a person has been in contact, I mean, I know that there's no actual treatment other than symptomatic, but if a person has been in contact, is there a way to reduce the possibility of becoming ill?
So early treatment is what is really important. That's what showed so far. And you're absolutely right. There is no treatment. There's no medicine. There's definitely no ivermectin, as you called it out. It's good to call that out, because it's in such cases, there are many people who suddenly jump up and say they have the wonder weapon to it.
Yes.
And that's sad, but let's stick to science.
Mm.
So curative treatment, so supportive treatment, as it's called, that's the only one we know so far. That's important. But the earlier people get into treatment, the better. So if you have been on in contact with a person who got then sick, if you are one of those who have been traced, meaning you got an altercation that you have been maybe on the same flight, maybe on the same boat, and so on, then please check with your doctors, see if you have any symptoms, and when you feel slight symptoms, just go get yourself checked out to be sure.
Are countries better prepared following COVID for international coordination and tracing?
I think so. The knowledge, or the as you called it, the PTSD of COVID has stuck. This is one of the core things that WHO does, right? This international coordination in an outbreak or in a situation where multiple countries and places are involved. People are better, governments are better. The coordination in this case so far between all the countries involved has been really exceptional. And that is so important. That makes all the difference. If not, a virus nowadays doesn't respect any politics or any borders or anything. They don't care what party you're voting Absolutely. For or what your feelings are. It just jumps. It even exploits that situation. So let's not give it that pleasure, so to say, and keep working together. That's really essential.
Absolutely. Final question: the balance that a global health authority has to strike between vigilance and avoiding unnecessary panic. How do you manage that?
That's a good point. For us, it is the importance to show how serious it is, and for the individual who has caught it, but how low the risk is for everybody else. Our role is to keep pointing to science, bringing the science out. And sometimes science means the information that you have today might be wrong
Absolutely.
Tomorrow.
And we saw that with COVID. We learned, and we saw the medical fraternity learning as it evolved. That's just the reality of it.
That's the reality. But if you name it and talk it and explain it, then people can get comfortable with it. It's unfortunately sometimes just exploited in the populistic scene.
Yeah, and I think that we really, really have to stop that, because it is unnecessary, it is anxiety provoking, and it's potentially even dangerous, because then people don't follow the science. That is where we are going to leave it. Thank you for taking the time to speak to us. Thank you for the incredibly important work that you do. Christian Lindemeyer, who's a spokesperson at the World Health Organization.